All of the newest episodes of Note to Self are now available on the Luminary podcast app. It's free to download, and you can also listen to other podcasts from WNYC studios like Radiolab, Two Dope Queens, Snap Judgment, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, and others. Luminary Premium is the only place where you can enjoy the entire new season of Note to Self, plus new original podcasts you won't find anywhere else, from Trevor Noah, Roxanne Gay, Guy Raz, Lena Dunham, and many more. And you can enjoy them ad-free. Start your free trial by going to luminary.link/note to self or download the Luminary app for free.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Your chances of getting back a stolen phone are pretty slim. Now Apple has a new iPhone out that has a fingerprint scanner, so you don't need a password, you don't have to memorize codes. The idea is to make the device useless if it is stolen. But the black market for smartphones is pretty sophisticated. That's what New Tech City's Ilya Meritz found out when he went to try and sell his friend's iPhone 4.
To call smartphone-related crime an epidemic is not an exaggeration. By one estimate, more than 4,000 phones are stolen every day in the United States. Last year, the crime rate in New York City rose after years of declines. The reason? 15,000 people reported a stolen phone. People like Jessica Engel.
So it's like a really crowded bar and I didn't even notice it. They must have like unzipped the bag and they must be experienced or something.
The weird thing, Engel says, is the thief actually left her wallet in her handbag. Only the phone was missing. It was never found.
It has been frustrating.
Pat Timlin is a former deputy commissioner in the New York City Police Department. Officers, he says, are doing their best to fight crime. But the odds are against them. Smartphones are easy to grab, and he says they're almost as liquid as cash. In a report for the NYPD, Timlin found stolen phones changing hands all over the city.
We saw bodegas, we saw local laundromats, and we saw back alley sales.
But no one has a complete picture of the size or scope of this black market.
So I'm sitting in my car now with an iPhone 4 that I borrowed from my coworker. This was her old phone. She doesn't use it anymore, and she actually wiped it.
I spent a day driving around Brooklyn, hitting up places that advertise on Craigslist, saying, "We buy used iPhones."
Okay. Thanks. He said he's going to call back in a minute.
Over the phone, a buyer named John agrees to meet me on the street in Brownsville, Brooklyn.
I feel a little nervous about this, I have to say. Let's see what happens.
John spots me right away. We shake hands, and he takes me inside a beauty parlor where women sit underneath hair dryers. They hardly look up from their magazines as John introduces me to his business partner. This guy looks the phone over, flicks through several screens, and says, "How much do you want for it?" I don't sell it.
Okay, so I'll just say it. It didn't seem to me like these guys were too concerned out of any ethical standpoint where the phone came from. They also seemed pretty confident, I have to say, after looking over a phone that had been wiped, that they would be able to sell it on no problem.
In a shop like this one, an individual thief could easily turn a stolen phone into cash. But smartphone crimes can be a lot more sophisticated than that.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here today.
In 2011, Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance announced the arrests of 27 people in a crime ring directed from inside Rikers Island. Members of this group weren't stealing phones. They were using stolen identities to manufacture fake credit cards and buy over $1 million in gear.
Those shoppers fanned out across the country, purchasing fraudulently obtained electronic goods from Apple stores in particular.
Then, many of the iPhones and iPads were sold online through eBay. Two defendants are still at large. The plots coming to light today are complex and increasingly global.
Hundreds of smartphones bought and sold in what prosecutors are calling an international scheme that connects the homeless with buyers in Hong Kong.
KCRA-TV in Sacramento. In March, the California Attorney General announced the arrests of two individuals. They allegedly paid homeless people to buy discounted phones on a two-year contract. Then they shipped the devices in bulk to Hong Kong, where phones can sell for $2,000 each, 10 times as much as in the States.
I hate the guys who do this type of stuff.
Mark Rogers is with the online security firm Lookout. He's also a hacker who frequents forums where criminals exchange information. Fraudsters and thieves, Rogers says, are good at spotting an opportunity. When some European countries created blacklists where users could report stolen phones and block them from being used again on other networks,
the criminals quickly realized that if you completely sidestep the blacklist by shipping the devices to foreign countries that don't participate in any programs like this, then you can probably sell the devices for close to a retail price.
Law enforcement tends to focus on thefts on the street and in subways. But Rogers believes that will only end when the black market itself is squeezed.
So things that make it harder for the guys to sell the phones once they've stolen them, things that make it easier for them to get caught, and things that drive down the value of the devices when they do steal them.
Rogers says a kill switch, which could turn a phone into a useless brick, is a good start. It would be even better if phone owners had to prove their identity before resetting or reselling the phone.
Ultimately, it would be fantastic if we could get it set up so that once a device is stolen, the only value there is from the parts.
Police will be on high alert when the new iPhone goes on sale. Since the first iPhone debuted 6 years ago, they've learned that every new Apple product comes with a spike in street crime. For WNYC, I'm Ilya Meretz.